Congregation, turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Luke chapter 17. As you turn there, let me thank the congregation, in particular the elders, for inviting me to the pulpit. It's always a pleasure to be here. Sometimes I think of you all as my second congregation, but I have great love for you and know that the folks at Providence pray regularly for you and for your pastor and for your elders, that it might go very well. And so we bless God that we are together this morning. And now let us hear of God's word. Our text this morning begins at verse 11 through 19. But we're going to begin at verse 5 because this gives us the context, and particularly the first verse of that section, the question that the apostles ask our Lord. Hear now God's holy word. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well," or better, "your faith has saved you." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask now that you would speak to us through your word, and that the words of your servant might be the words of Christ to your people as they embrace you with a living faith. And so give us faith to believe. Father, we come to you and we ask that you would bless us. So now speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Please be seated. As the apostles are with our Lord Jesus, they are being instructed daily and regularly in the Christian faith. We notice here that Luke speaks of them as apostles. Apostles. These are the ones who will bring the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus upon his death and resurrection to the saints in Jerusalem and Samaria and throughout the ends of the world. And so Jesus continually instructs them in the Christian faith. And at one point in his ministry with them, as he speaks to them about the gospel, the apostles ask our Lord Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." They understand that their faith needs to be strengthened in the Lord Jesus. And so our Lord instructs them in the great truths of the Christian faith. And it is as if Luke now gives us an example of how this looks like
as he gives them the story, the narrative of the 10 lepers. Earlier, Jesus is teaching in a number of capacities. He speaks to them of the rich man and Lazarus. He teaches them of the temptation to sin. And so in all these things, he wants to increase their faith. And so he gives them this story. But whenever we read the Gospel of Luke, we must also keep in mind that it's not only the disciples that Jesus is instructing. Remember who Jesus is speaking to, or who Luke is writing this book for. It is his friend Theophilus. And why? So that Theophilus might know the certainty of the Christian faith. He wants his dear friend Theophilus to love Christ, to have faith in Christ, to be strengthened in the certainty that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Messiah who has come. And so Luke gives us this narrative. Jesus and his disciples have entered the village between Samaria and Galilee. And there he is met by 10 lepers. Now Luke tells us something very significant about these lepers, which, if you understand, you'll have the key to open the entire passage. Then you might say to yourself, it's not that difficult. Lepers are lepers. They need cleansing. And by the end of the story, 10 of them are healed. Story done. Mission accomplished. But Luke says, no, it's not that easy. That's not how we live as Christians. It's not that we live by sight. It's that we live by faith in Christ. And so Luke gives us a key whereby we might understand the story. And it's in the description of the 10 lepers. Now, having said that, what is the key? Look at verse 11 and 12. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Now, why did they stand at a distance? Well, it's pretty clear by those who have studied the law out of Leviticus 13 and 14, those who study this manual on dermatology, that what we call leprosy included all kinds of skin diseases, rashes, and all the way to the extremities of the body being removed. Now, we don't know exactly what these 10 lepers had, but we do know this, that if they had leprosy, they could only stay at a distance from the fellowship of God's people. You see, what's so bad about what Luke is describing to us is that it's not just, in fact, not even primarily, the physical effects of leprosy that's important here. No, he is saying to us they are at a distance because of the social effects. Sure, they had these rashes or fingers missing. There was this horrible wasting disease upon their bodies to different degrees in all 10 of these lepers. But that's not the worst. No, far worse than that was that they were separated from their community. They were not allowed to worship with the people of God. They were not allowed to embrace their spouses and hug their children and put them on their laps like some of you are doing this morning. None of that. They were excluded from Israel. They were at a distance. They were far away from the people of God. In short, the social dimensions of the disease were far more serious than the physical and medical. Look how Luke 13 speaks of the commands or the stipulations of one who was a leper. Moses' law said that person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkept, cover the lower face or part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And as long as they were deemed unclean or declared unclean, he must live outside the camp, outside of the people of God. And so such was the life of a leprous man. They were the subject of superstition and fear. They were not only unwell, they were unclean and excommunicated from the people of God. A dreadful situation to be part of. Now, there was not just one leper. There were 10 of them. They were 10 lepers. And what that means is that in their isolation, as they were cast off, other lepers found each other and they came together in a little community so that they might enjoy some kind of fellowship nonetheless. And you see, this is a reflection. This is who we are by nature. All of us as humanity are in the same boat, we might say, because of our sin. Because leprosy is a reflection of who we are in ourselves by nature. Now, why? I mean, we're all living together. Well, the greatest thing is not just isolation from our families, but is that we are alienated from our God. That's the great emphasis. And that's what Luke wants to direct our attention to. They were at a distance. They were a distance from the worshiping community, from their families. Far worse, they were at a distance from God Almighty. They were alienated by Him. And they were afar off. You see, this is the picture then. This is a portrait of who we are in Adam and an example of Adam's fall. He was living in sweet communion with God in the temple of God, the Garden of Eden. It was there that God dwelt with him and communed with him and delighted in him. And there was this dialogue. They loved each other and they were so happy to be in each other's presence. And God was blessed by Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were blessed by God. There was joy and fellowship. There was no distance. But as soon as Adam sinned, he was expelled from the garden and he was banished from the presence of God. Not just that he couldn't eat of the fruit of the trees anymore. Not just that he had to weed the gardens and there would be all sorts of difficulties in life. No, far worse than that. Is that he was banished from the God who had created him. The God who was so gracious to him and blessed him. And so these 10 lepers are at a distance. And their situation is desperate. But you know the gospel. You know the Bible. It never stops there. So what does Luke tell us? Well, he tells us that they saw Jesus. They had heard that he was coming through their village. Now, we don't know exactly how they heard. Perhaps they had heard of the leper in chapter 5 who had been healed by Jesus. But certainly, our Lord's reputation preceded him. He was the great God who had healed all sorts of diseases and All those who were ill were brought to him, and he healed them. And so as Jesus comes through this village, they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." What a great cry that is. What other cry could they cry? What else could they do? They pleaded for Christ's mercy. They had nothing to offer. Absolutely nothing. And so they cry. They have heard of our Lord Jesus, that He is merciful, that He is gracious. And so they cry, "Jesus, Master," that is Lord, "have mercy on us." My friends, that's exactly what we do. We cry to God for His grace and His mercy. When we're in our distresses, when we're in our difficulties, in our depressions, in pain, in sickness, we can take a Tylenol and we can do all those things and degrees of physical things. There's nothing that will relieve the sorrow of heart except God's mercy. And so we cry, "Lord, have mercy on us." And as we cry, we acknowledge, just as these 10 lepers acknowledge, that Jesus Christ was no other man. He was the Lord and He was their Master, the one who created them and for whose purpose they were created. And that's what we do when we cry out to our God. We pray exactly the same way. "Lord, have mercy upon me in my distress. Deliver me from my sin, from my darkness. Deliver me from my backsliding. I cannot help myself." As we have sung, our only hope is in Jesus Christ. Everything else, and you know this because you've tried it, everything else is sinking sand. There is no hope apart from Christ. Perhaps that's your situation this morning. Perhaps you are at the end of your wits, as Psalm 107 speaks of. Perhaps you are in the night of darkness, or you're drifting away from God this morning. You're asleep because you're careless, and there's only one way in the Christian life. If you're not continually growing, you are backsliding, going downhill. Only always either moving towards God or moving away from God. Well, there is hope. There is hope. You cry out, "Lord, Master, have mercy upon me." And that's the cry that the Lord Jesus loves to hear. I can't do it myself. I can't free myself. Lord, have mercy upon me. Do you know the beautiful thing in Scripture? Actually, I should say the most beautiful thing about our Lord Jesus Christ. That you can go through all of Scripture, and every single time someone has cried out for mercy, the Lord is gracious and granted him mercy. That's who our Lord is. And so there's no reason, you see, to stay in that state that you're in. There is no reason. It's only because of our stubbornness. But as we'll see in a moment, our God graciously hears the prayers of His people. He loves them. He inclines us in them. And so Luke teaches us that this is who Jesus Christ is. He wants, you see, to know. He wants Theophilus, and he wants the disciples to see how absolutely merciful Jesus is. And so he shows them the beauty of our Lord Jesus. And this, my dear friends, is exactly who Jesus is. You remember how Zacharias, as he prayed and he had that great Benedictus in chapter 1, he says in this verse 72, this was what was known about the Messiah to come. It says that he would show mercy, the mercy promised to our fathers. You see, this is what was coming. This is who Jesus Christ is. And as this story demonstrates, what the writer of Hebrews so wonderfully declares, that Jesus became like us in every way, flesh and blood, he says, so that he might identify with us in our weakness, in our frailty, in our humanity, and that he, in the midst of all the temptation, understood what we go through, so that he might become a merciful and a faithful high priest in service of God. There is no sin too dark. There is no sin committed too often. There is, to use Luke's words, no distance that's too far. Jesus is the merciful and the gracious high priest. And so, he hears us. And he provides for us. And this is what we see so majestically in his dealings with these 10 lepers. They were at a distance. They cry for mercy. But now, what a strange response they receive from Jesus. Now, what might these lepers have expected of Jesus? Well, surely they would have expected Jesus to come to them and touch them, or at least say to them, be healed. Of course they would have expected that of Jesus. Because this is what Jesus had previously done to countless others who were ill. You go and touch them, like the leper in chapter 5, and heal him. And they would be cleansed. But no, that's not what Luke tells us. Look what Luke tells us. When they cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now that's strange, isn't it? I mean, don't you all think that's strange? Go and show yourself to the priest. I am sure that these 10 lepers would say to Jesus, if we were there, they would say, Jesus, don't you understand? We just came from the priest. That's why we're at a distance. The priest has declared to us 7 days ago, or within the last 7 days, that we're still unclean. That's why we are apart from our families. We just got from the priest, and they continue to give us the bad news that we are still filled with leprosy. Now, if you go through the law of Moses, you'll see that there are strict regulations concerning leprosy. It clearly delineated for the people of God how the priests would deal with this sickness. It was a manual, you'll see, on how they could determine the extent of their illness and then what to do if they still had the leprosy. And all these people would do is cry out, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. That's what the law did. But what the priest could not do is cleanse them. The priest could never, based upon the law, on the manual, they could never declare the person or cleanse that person. It always did what it was the very best at doing. It showed them that they were lepers. And that's what the law does for us as well, doesn't it? The law does what it's really good at. It tells us we're sinners. It highlights what needs to be done so that we can be declared forgiven and cleansed, just as the Mosaic Law taught them what to do once the priest declared that they could go back into the camp. But one thing it could never do is to cleanse them, to forgive them of their sins. Never could it do that. Because you see, the purpose of the law is to point us to Christ, who alone can forgive sins and cleanse us from all guilt. And you see, this is why Luke records this of our Lord Jesus. And this is why Jesus said, go back to the priests. Go back to them. Show yourselves to the priests. He wanted these 10 lepers to know with great certainty that the priest would only declare them as lepers. That's all they could do. Salvation and healing could only come from Christ Jesus. And so Jesus says, go, show yourself to the priests. You see, this is the import of what Luke tells us at the beginning of this passage. No wasted words in Luke's gospel. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Luke wants us never to forget Jesus is on a mission. He is heading from chapter 9, verse 51, till we get to Jerusalem. Jesus is heading to his destination, which will be his destiny as well. He is on the way. And as he's on the way, the picture we must see of Jesus is that of the suffering servant, the one who came to bear our guilt and to deliver us from it. The one who would be banished from God's eyes and from his fellowship so that through his stripes we might be healed. That's what Luke wants us to understand. This one who had come in the fullness of the Spirit did not come for anything else but for salvation for his people. And so he came to be the priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek, the one who lives forever. He had come not only to be the one who offered the sacrifice, but to be the sacrifice for sin. And this is what Jesus wanted these 10 lepers to understand. And this is what Luke wants Theophilus to understand. And this is what the Spirit of Christ wants you to understand. There is only hope and salvation in one, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, children, you know what's so amazing? I mean, this is absolutely miraculous. That as, look what Luke says. These 10 lepers, he says, and as they went, where were they going? They're going to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. Amazing. All 10 of them. You can imagine them walking around saying, gee, that wasn't, we thought other things of Jesus, what he would say, but we're going to go. And they went. And all of a sudden, they look at each other and they're all healed. People who had missing fingers, they would be back. Skin filled with rashes would be now like a baby skin, gloriously renewed. Amazing. they were healed by the word of Christ. The word of God immediately as they went. Now, you can't let this be lost on you. Luke says that as they went, or on their way, they were cleansed. They weren't cleansed, you see, when they went to the priest, when they got to the priest. No, as they went, they were healed. Now, what's that mean? Well, surely this is one of the great messages throughout the Bible. That we receive the blessings of God as we walk in obedience to His law. It's that way. You want blessings as a child of God? Then you walk in the ways of truth. You walk in the ways that God has designed for you to walk. It seems simple, but it's great. Nothing else in all this world promises blessings. God promises you, as you walk in the way of obedience, and you'll experience the blessings of God. And so, you children, you etch that in your heart and your mind. You want to be blessed as a young lady, a young man. You want blessing for the rest of your life as a married husband, as a father, as a mother, as a grandfather, as a grandmother. Do you want to enjoy the blessings in this life? All the spiritual blessings of God. There's only one way. It is in the way of obedience. They obeyed Jesus' command and they were healed. Now you can imagine how excited they were. They're probably giving high fives to all their buddies. This is unbelievable. This is the greatest gift that we could ever have. But is it? Luke tells us that there's something greater. There's something of a greater magnitude than the healing of these 10 lepers. Something breaks the fellowship of these 10 lepers who are now healed. These 10 men who were in fellowship with each other because of their illness. And you see, it doesn't matter. It crosses, and this is remarkable in Palestine, it crosses ethnic lines. Jesus, not once, but twice, speaks of this one who was a foreigner, a Samaritan of all things, the most hated and despised by the Jews. But he was in fellowship with these 10. But something happens. All 10 were excited and they were all giving each other high fives. And then one leaves. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned, Luke says, to give thanks to Jesus. He turned back, praising God with a loud voice. Now that's surprising. It ought to be surprising to you that only one went back. And it's not only that we are surprised. Jesus is surprised. Jesus said to this one, "We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? This is strange. Where are the 9? They're still celebrating, Jesus. They're still celebrating. They're celebrating because they hit the jackpot and they won. Because that's exactly how they treated Jesus' healing. It's like they took coins and put it in a slot. They pulled the lever and they won. They've come to Jesus to be healed physically. They came to Jesus because of the benefits that Jesus could give them. Healing a new job, a new car, a new home, a good salary. Blessings on my exam. Entrance into college. All those things. That's what they were doing. They wanted the benefits that Jesus gives without having Jesus. You know what Luke's telling us? He's saying we can be healed from our leprosy and still go to hell. We can be healed from our physical ailment, even delivered out of a difficult situation or relationship, and still go to a lost eternity. Jesus says, "Where are the nine?" It was surprising to him that they had not come back to return thanks. So the obvious question is, why not? Well, that's why Luke tells us. At the beginning, they were at a distance from our Lord. At the end of the story, they are still at a distance. But now, notice this one. Luke tells us that this one fell on his face at Jesus' feet. They were at a distance. He was at a distance. In fact, even more than that, he was a social outcast. He was a Samaritan, Jesus said. But now he has fallen before the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracle of cleansing was to point these 10 to Jesus. And all the blessings in your life that you receive, even the food that you eat, the fellowship you enjoy, all the good marks on your exams, they are to point you to one person, Christ Jesus. Every time we eat food, it's to help us understand. It's not because God did this without purpose. No, He did it so that we might understand that we're dependent upon Jesus. And it's to point us to the giver of every good and perfect gift. And that's what this healing was to do. But why didn't it happen to the nine? Well, the Apostle Paul writes of the depraved humanity. Oh, they knew God. They knew Jesus. His fame had gone forth. And that's why they cried out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy." They did not honor him as God or give him thanks. They traded Jesus as a slot machine. You put your 3/4 in that pop machine in the back and you get a can of Coke. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, he identifies their ingratitude as the prevailing sin of the ungodly. Enjoying the blessings of God, the rain, the sunshine, and everything else, but denying that He is their God. But things were quite different with this one. He returns thanks, and he is now at Jesus' feet. What's Luke telling you, Theophilus? What's he telling them? The response to God's grace and His mercy is always worship. And that's why we're here this morning. It is because of God's mercy upon us that He looked upon us in our miserable state. We were those of Ezekiel 16 in our blood and cast off. We were those as the 10 lepers and those 9 who were standing at a distance. But God in His great love had mercy upon us through Christ Jesus, and He has brought us to Himself. He has bridged the gap. He has brought us nigh unto the cross. We who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus. And notice that Jesus says, He marvels also at this foreigner. He says, was no one found to return thanks and or return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? What's Jesus saying? He's saying to His disciples, He's preparing them, you see, for Acts. That there are Gospels to go out beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. And He's saying that this Gentile is the true son of Abraham. You remember how the Jews, in discussion with Jesus, they said, we are the children of Abraham. Jesus says, no, no, no. You are of the children of the devil. But this man, this Samaritan, is a child of Abraham by faith. And you see, it all changed. It all changed because of his faith in Christ. And that's why we hear Jesus' words of salvation. He says to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you. Rise. What's that language? That's resurrection language. That's newness of life. That's transformation of the soul. This is what the Spirit of Christ does. He gives us salvation and He makes us new. We are therefore now new creatures. The old has passed, the new has come. That's what we see in this man. Life has entered him. Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you. In other words, your faith could now move the mulberry tree, as it were. All because the object of his faith was not physical things, but Jesus. And that's what's important. Because everything else then becomes a God. Wherever we put our faith, and whoever is the object of our faith becomes our God. It wasn't the cleansing of their physical that brought this man, or that this man had his faith in. No, it was in Jesus Christ. He put his faith in Jesus. He received from Jesus not only physical blessing, but all the spiritual blessings. Forgiveness of sins, joy of the Holy Spirit, grace and perseverance in it. Go your way. All is well. What's that saying? It's saying this. He received nothing less than Jesus Himself. Isn't that beautiful? He received Jesus. The gap was bridged because he knew Jesus to bridge that gap. The one who bore the curse of his leprous heart. The one whom the Old Testament scriptures foretold would come. The one who is on his way to Jerusalem. And so, my dear friends here at Shiloh, you've received many, countless, as one of my brothers prayed this morning, innumerable blessings of God. As families, you're richly blessed. You come under the preaching of the gospel. You have a faithful gospel preacher, week in and week out. Faithful elders who care for your souls. You have the reading of the word and the preaching of the word. You have all the ordinances that God has blessed you with. And then on top of all the blessings and the ordinances of God in this place, you have all the countless physical blessings. And it's so easy. It's so easy because you're part of the covenant people of God, and God loves the righteous. And so He blesses the righteous. But it's so easy to be caught up with all the blessings and not fall down regularly in worship and praise to Him. But that needs to be the disposition of your heart. Worship. Falling before His majesty. Praising Him for His grace. And His loving kindness to us and to our children. That He remembers mercy. Oh, may each of you this morning, each of you say, once I stood at a distance. But now, I worship at Jesus' feet. And He gives us that privilege very tangibly each Sunday morning and each Sunday night in this place. Don't neglect the opportunity to worship Him, because He's worthy. He's had mercy. And He's extended it to you. And He's given you faith to believe.